Everyone, I'm glad to get this opportunity to share tonight. I'll be touching a little bit on my testimony and how God's been working in my life, and something also that I've personally been working on lately to grow closer to God. And I hope what I have to share tonight is encouraging and applicable for everyone, and I'll just open up in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I just come before you tonight. I just thank you for this opportunity that we got this morning, Lord, to just worship you and just give you thanks for sending your son to die on the cross for us, Lord. We just can't thank you enough for everything that you do for us, Lord. And I just pray tonight as me and Dan speak, Lord, that we'll let your Holy Spirit just speak through us tonight to everyone here, and that we can be an encouragement you through us, Lord. And I just pray that as everyone goes home in their separate ways, that we'll just continue to just grow closer to you, Lord, in your holy precious name. Amen. So I grew up in a Christian home. I had two great Christian parents, and I was very fortunate in the family that I was born into. And I always grew up going to meeting every Sunday, Wednesday. And I was just surrounded by the gospel growing up, how to be saved. And I remember there was one week we had gospel meetings with Eric Fowler and Matthew Cain, if anyone's familiar with them. And we, when they were speaking behind them, there was this big poster behind them, and it was called Two Roads, Two Destinies. And there's this one big road that leads and then crosses through death. And there was a narrow way and a broad way. And the narrow way led to heaven, and the broad way led to the lake of fire. And they were speaking that night on how we were born sinners, and if you were to die, you'd be going to hell. And it just really struck me that night. And I knew that my parents had salvation. I knew that they had God in their life, and I knew that that is something that I needed in my life. And so when I got home that evening, I asked my dad, and I found him, and I asked him what I can do to be saved. And he explained to me that I need to trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And so I did so that night, and that was the most important decision that I've ever made in my life, the most important moment. And I was actually 7 at the time, so I was quite young. And at that young age, being 7, it's kind of hard to understand what it means to live a Christian life. So I just kind of grew up, you know, doing the same thing, going to church every Sunday, spending time with Christian families and Christian friends in youth groups, and always going to camp. I think I've been going to camp since I was like 1, because my dad would always be speaking. And so I just kind of was growing up just in this Christian environment, so protected. And I found, as I grew older, skipping a few years, kind of more into high school, I started to find that I was kind of putting myself first in my life and not putting God in my life, which I began kind of seeing a lot of inconsistencies in my relationship with God. I kind of started doing things out of fear that my parents would be disappointed. Like, I would make sure to go to church Sunday morning so I wouldn't disappoint my dad, or at school I would try to act normal because I knew that other kids in the assembly were at school, and just kind of was doing things more for selfish reasons than for following God. And I kind of found that I was relying a lot on myself, and started to notice that I didn't really have much of a fear of God in my life. And so kind of as I was growing and becoming more mature, I kind of found that really started to change, and kind of continued to have a lot more communication with God in my life, which in any relationship is extremely important, and we know, and that's important with a relationship with God. And just kind of things started to get better as I grew older, and then I did 2 years of university at home in St. John. And with my program, you do 2 years in St. John, and then you go to Fredericton. And I don't know if it was, I must have been a week at camp, or I was just here for the weekend. I felt so convicted when I was driving home that PEI was a place that I wanted to be, because it was so encouraging to be with all the young people. And I knew that going to Fredericton would mean it would be more hanging out with school friends who weren't Christians. And I just knew that I needed to remove that temptation from my life, because there's really no accountability with them. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals," which was so true in my life. Just being with unchristian friends at school, just surrounded, you could tell that it didn't draw me any closer to God, and if anything, drew me away from God. So after a lot of discussions with my parents and weighing pros and cons, I was texting back and forth with Ty, and he sent me the well-known verse, Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so I kind of knew that I needed to make a decision that was honoring to God and that would build me up spiritually. And here I am, and moving to PEI has easily been one of the most significant blessings in my life. Just having that feeling of like when you're at camp with all your friends and your Christian friends, and it's so encouraging. And just having that encouragement throughout the week, and just that accountability. There's so many verses that talk in the Bible about just building each other up and keeping one another accountable for their actions. And having that for me is so huge in my Christian faith. And that is just one thing that I really, really wanted to touch on tonight when I was asked to give my testimony, and just how God's been working in my life. Because for the young people and older people, if you find yourself in that situation, it's crazy how huge it is for me to be able to come here and just be surrounded by Christian friends. And I just hope that no one here takes that for granted, because I know it's such a tight-knit community here. And it's just so important to just think, is who I'm hanging out with growing me closer to God, or is it drawing me away from God? And just really asking yourself those questions. And so I've been reading in the Old Testament. And one thing I mentioned earlier is kind of in high school how I started to notice a bit that I was kind of seeing a lack of fear of God in my life. And so reading the Old Testament, I've been seeing and just so encouraged by how many examples there are of God-fearing people in the Bible and in the Old Testament specifically. And I just kind of want to take you through what I've been going through, and just with my thoughts in trying to be a God-fearing man in my life. And so I want to look at two examples. I want to look at Joseph and Job. And first we'll look at Joseph. And I know the story of Joseph was just such an amazing story to me as a kid, but it was more so, you know, the coat of many colors and him interpreting the dreams, just really fascinating. But now as I look at it, as I'm trying to learn to be a God-fearing believer, it's just so cool to just see it from this God-fearing perspective. So it's a familiar story. Joseph sold by slaves by his very own brothers, and through living for God, he grew to be the master of Potiphar's house. And I'll just, for the sake of time, I'm just going to look at one instance. So if you'll turn with me to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. And we'll start at verse 7. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And when I was reading this, it was just so amazing to see Joseph's God-fearing mindset and how he has this, he has more of a godly fear than a personal fear, and just kind of shows the true fear of God in his life. He thinks, he immediately says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He doesn't think, oh, what if Potiphar kills me, or what is he going to do to me, or what is he going to think? He immediately thinks to God and thinks, I can't do this against God. And I find so many times in my life, I can make decisions based on my emotions and based on maybe what the consequences will be, when I need to have more of a fearful mindset and look to God and make a decision that draws me closer to God and what's honoring to him. And sometimes the main thought that comes to mind when I'm making a decision or in the moment is, oh, what are the believers going to think? What are my friends going to think? What's going to happen to me financially? Or what impact is that going to have on my life? And I just think that shouldn't be the way that we make decisions, and I should have more of a God-fearing mindset like Joseph does here. And with some decisions, we kind of have a longer time to process, like moving to PEI. I had a few months weighing the pros and cons and talking to several people. But we see here that some situations are more abrupt, like this one, as Potiphar's wife approaches Joseph, and he immediately thinks, how can I sin against God? And when I look at this, I think to myself, well, how can I have the same mindset of Joseph? And I think for me in my life right now, constant communication with God and just trusting and understanding his power and might through the word is so huge for me. Just being in the word and talking to him and just seeing all the examples in the Bible of how powerful and how holy and how great he is in our lives. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to have this bracelet, and it had four little cubes on it that had WWJD. And I never knew what they meant until I asked my mom. And she said, those stands for what would Jesus do? And I think having that fear of God is like looking at that bracelet on my wrist. What would Jesus do in that circumstance? Or what can I do to draw closer to God in this situation? And I think just having that God-fearing mindset and just understanding and just being in awe of God and how amazing he is and how powerful he is, and just making those decisions based on out of that fear will ultimately lead to the best decision and just growing closer to him. And I'll take a look quickly at Job as well. In just Job 1:1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. So Job was a God-fearing man, and this was so clear and becomes so evident when Satan tests him and takes away his family and his land and gives him boils from head to toe, which I can only imagine how painful that would be. And his fear of God becomes so evident in his story as Satan's attacking all these things. And he just continues to be an honoring believer. And he has this mental fortitude to get through these trials because he fears God and understands how powerful God is. And he just demonstrates that the fear of God can overcome emotions and enable us to not fall into our sinful nature. Because I think It's so easy to be frustrated on emotions and flesh. And through his sufferings and what he was going through, he never cursed God's name. And that's through his God-fearing mindset. And I think in our circumstance in North America, we just have everything, we have a lot at our disposal, and it's so easy to live comfortably and have things taken care of. And I think for me personally in my life, it's easy to not rely on God through trials like in my life. And I think we don't grow closer to God and have a God-fearing mindset when we try to rely on ourselves. So that's one big thing that I've been working on, is just relying on him. And in Job 28:28, it says, "And to man he says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." So through fearing the Lord, we have the wisdom to make wise, God-fearing decisions to draw closer to him. And then having a fear of God gives you that respect and appreciation that he deserves, being the ultimate creator and dying on the cross for our sins, and just being almighty and all-powerful. And so right now when I look at my life, I just really want to have more of a mindset like Joseph and Job did, and how they truly act out of fear of the Lord, which allows them to make those godly decisions and just draw closer to him in the time of need. And just to understand that he's the creator of the universe, and he has given me this salvation that I truly don't deserve. And I just hope that that's something you evaluate in your life as well, as we all strive to get closer to him, to just fear him and his power, and just understand who we approach when we come here in the morning, and who we approach when we pray to him and talk to him. And that was what I wanted to share tonight, so I will let Dan continue.
Thank you, Ben. Good evening, everyone, again. Nice to see you all out here this evening as we just continue looking at just some different testimonies. I booked the speakers for this month, and it was my intention just to have a number of different individuals, a mix of young and old, just to come and share a little bit of their testimony of what the Lord has done in and through them, either right from the beginning or from a present context or most recently, and just to hear a little bit. And again, the goal and desire here is that we as a body of believers are encouraged and built up and strengthened as we hear of some of the things that, it's always wonderful to hear how people are saved and their stories of that, but also to hear of how the Lord continues to work in our lives and change us and strengthen us and conform us to be like his son. As I believe I've shared my testimony at least once here before. I grew up in a little small town in southern Ontario, and I attended an assembly there called Pine Ridge Bible Chapel in Oshawa, Ontario. I grew up in a Bible-believing home, godly Christian parents, and one of the things that Ben touched on, and I'm sure you'll hear in other testimonies, is the importance in terms of setting you off on that trajectory of having a godly set of parents and a home where you will hear the word of God preached, where you're being taken to Sunday school and church and camp, and just having that influence. What a blessing it is to have that influence in your life, as it was in mine, and just the consistency in that. That's something that I note and I've mentioned to my parents. Looking back on it now, is just their consistency and their devotion to the meetings that we were attending, and they particularly were very dedicated to their local meeting in terms of attendance, and not just that, but helping out and pitching in and being a part of that. That was such an influence, I think, on me, seeing that example, that mentor in my dad of someone who was involved and stepping in, and my mom as well. Showing up, but being wanting to be a part and loving the people in the assembly, and that certainly has had an impact on me. And so I'm not going to focus so much on the beginnings, but that is an important part. And that as a 7-year-old, I remember where I was at my cottage in the Ottawa Valley. My cousin was staying over for a sleepover, and I had been questioning a lot of those questions of having heard and grown up in church and Sunday school. I knew the lingo, but I didn't really know how to what it meant or how to make it work. And it was all sort of crystallizing that evening there. And I remember talking to my cousin and asking him, what does it mean? How do you, I know I want to be saved. I understand what it is, but how do we actually do it? And he said, no, it's just a prayer that you would pray to God. And I think I already knew the gist of what I wanted to say to God, and I just didn't know how to go about it. And even those little simple logistics, just to say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you sent your son to die for me, and I know that I want to be in heaven with you one day. And, just in that simple moment right there, I know that the Lord saved me, and that I'm his child, and that I will be with him one day. Of course, you grow from that moment, and you change from that moment, and you go through those things. You have to make your faith your own. You have to work out your own salvation, as I had occasion to do through my teenage years, and then going to university. I think that was late high school, early university is when I really made a dedication to the Lord, and really, I think, turned my life around and wanting to serve him and follow him. But that's, when I speak of those things, as the older you get, you tend to still think that high school wasn't that long ago and the 90s weren't that long ago, but they were, apparently. And so I think sometimes more in terms of my testimony, it's, that is in the past. And so it's more, I think, more about, well, where are things now? How are things now? What have I been up to lately? And there's more that I have to look back on sometimes and sort of looking forward. And so when I look back, I, as I was doing in preparing for this, I was just thinking about, well, what are the things that I'm seeing, that the Lord is working on in my life, and what are some of the challenges that I have faced in my life as a believer? And I guess I kind of focused on a couple of words that kept coming back, and that was the idea of faith and works. And so we know those verses in Ephesians that speak of, they tell us that by grace we've been saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We know those verses. So when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved, we understand it's not through anything that we have done that gets us our sins cleansed, that gets us into a right relationship with God, that gets us into heaven. It's all through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And we also know, as James tells us, that faith without works is death. Faith without works is dead. So we have in the Christian walk, the evidence is that we have a faith is shown through the works that we would do, and the bearing of the fruit of the Spirit, as it were. That's how we'd see someone who is a believer. We'd want to see evidence that there is fruit, the fruit of the Spirit manifested in their lives, as they would do the works that would demonstrate that they love and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as I stand before you now as a 42-year-old man, I cling to that testimony, and I know that night in my cottage, that I made a profession of faith to the Lord Jesus, and I never wavered from that. I never, in all these years, even though it was very simple, and sometimes, maybe I wanted to sort of question the simplicity of that. Was that enough? Is that good enough? It never really took hold in my life. I've always been confident that was a moment where the transaction was made, where I was bound for eternity from that moment. But it's interesting, the relationship I think I've had with works since then, and it's something that I think a lot about. And we're supposed to, as believers, as we go throughout our lives, we should be examining our lives in terms of a lot of things. 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. And these are things that we do. As we grow in our Christian lives, we should be sort of checking in and saying, how are things in my spiritual walk? Am I growing? Am I maturing? You can have, a proper and a healthy way of doing that. And sometimes it can work in a negative way, and there can be different factors of why you might be perhaps more looking at that through perhaps a wrong lens. I think I have a fairly clear understanding of that idea of that it's not my works that save me. You know, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that it's not salvation by my works. I understand that, and so positionally, I know that I'm saved, and that's eternal. And yet, sometimes I think perhaps when I would go through difficult periods or when I would struggle, I would have a difficult relationship with the idea of works as I'm doing them and why I'm doing them, my motivations for doing them as a believer. When I go through ruts, I can fixate on things, on doing things for the Lord, and wrongly oriented, I can make it about me. I can make it about doing it as a performance, doing the things of the Lord, things that a Christian would do, simply because, as Ben was talking about, those things that are expected of us. And so as I do the things that a Christian would do, even going to church and attending meetings and participating in things, sometimes I just would have struggled in the past in terms of my motivations for why am I doing this? Why does my reasons for doing this, where does that come from? And, you know, when things are in the right place, when I'm walking with the Lord, when I'm in step with him, when I'm in fellowship with him, I understand the reasons why, and we'll come back to these things that I'm doing. But when, perhaps when I'm being more selfish, when I'm more just focused on myself and I get away from maybe spending time with the Lord, this idea of this being about me and performance-based works tends to come more to the fore. And what I guess to clarify some of that, what I'm saying by that is that as much as I would know intellectually that it's not works that save, sometimes we use the works as a metric whereby we're saying, am I doing what's right? Am I doing what a Christian should do? And if I'm doing them, then I think, well, God will be pleased. And if I'm not doing them, or it's, you know, or I'm struggling with those kind of things, then I think, well, God is unhappy with me. God is displeased with me because I'm not doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian. And sometimes, you know, we can even make it about busyness in doing the things. And if I'm doing lots of the things, then that's showing, you know, or maybe even affirming to me that I'm saved, that I'm a Christian, I'm doing what I should be doing. And I think that's obviously a wrongly oriented belief about who God is and what his salvation is. And just being honest and transparent with you, that's sometimes something that I have struggled with throughout my Christian walk, is just is trying to rightly understand my motivations for wanting to serve the Lord and do things for him, and challenging myself that it's not about doing it for the sake of doing it, not about for the sake of performance, but because it's the Lord who I love and who I understand, who saves me, and all those things which we'll talk about. It's not about the works that save me. This is the ultimate understanding. So how I sort of shake out of that negativity, that wrongly oriented thinking about works and why we do the things we do, why we serve the Lord, why we want to follow him and do things for him, it's coming around to that understanding, which is biblically based truth, that it's not about the works that save me, it's about the Savior who saved me. And I have to recognize that God is not standing up there in heaven with a pen and a report card giving me, you know, quarterly reports on how, you know, he's going to give me and say, oh, this semester or this trimester, you really didn't do enough. You didn't do enough that a Christian should do. You should have done X, Y, and Z. That's not the God that I love and serve. He's not basing it on my goodness or on my works. you know, I have my faith, and I've always had that confidence and belief that I've been a born again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then I know that works and bearing the fruit of the Spirit comes from a rightly oriented relationship with God, understanding that faith. But so sometimes when I have these struggles and this back and forth, and I get into that place of it's about performance, it's about me, I need to be shaken out of that. And when I was most recently shaken out of it was kind of a funny thing. It's the Word of God, obviously, hearing the Word of God and speaking the Word of God and reading it that makes me sort of gets me back on track and makes me realize, okay, this is what is true, this is what is real, not these things that you've made up in your head about. You know, putting on a good show and doing the things. But here's what's truth and here's what's reality. I heard a verse or I read a verse, and it's the simplest thing sometimes that the Lord uses through His Spirit to just wake us up and shake us out of things. And the verse was this. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. For some reason, when I was caught up in this idea of wanting to do things or thinking that it was the doing of things that was right, and that's how I'm being sort of judged, the metric by which I'm being judged as a Christian, and just being sidetracked by that, I had to come back to this reality that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and being a Christian starts in the most simplest level, base level, in terms of understanding, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is who He says He is. And of course, a faith that is mature, that builds on all those things, it's more and richer and deeper than that. But at the primary foundation, even as a seven-year-old, when I was saved, it was because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was who He said He was. And that was and is the most important thing. And so another verse that sort of just tied in or just helps me through this stuff, when I want to sort of build up, you know, I look at my resume and say, see the things that I'm doing, and this is the evidence that I'm doing what I should be doing. And it just gets overwhelming, and I just get too much in my head. A verse that keeps coming back to me, that encourages me and reorients me in thinking the right way, is this one, and it's actually on the wall in my kitchen right now, or living room. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are the words of the Lord Jesus confirming to me and encouraging me and just telling me the truth, what is true, what is real, that, you know, when we fully rest in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, all that stuff about the work, it just evaporates. It's not about the work. It's not about the stuff we're doing. It's that the Lord Jesus has done the work, has done all the things. And so it's ironically, once I'm reminded of the fact that it's not about me, it's not about doing the things or the metric of the works, when I fully just surrender that and understand that, that's when I can rest in Him and trust Him. And then my motives can change into the proper orientation so that I no longer, it's not about working for God, for sort of assuming that that's how He is pleased with me and that's how I, you know, that's how I'm, what I should be doing as a Christian. But it changes into that I want to serve Him and love Him and follow Him because the work is done and He loves me. And it's not about my performance. It's not about what I do for Him. It's what He's done for me. And that simple exchange of faith that I put my faith and trust in Him, and I continue to put my faith and trust in Him. And regardless of the circumstances that life brings, regardless of the ups and downs and discouragements, that, you know, that He loves me, and that I can rest in Him and His finished work. That's all that really matters. And that's the strength that I need sometimes. Sometimes when I just have these, where you just have difficult times or moments or down or times where you just get discouraged and you sort of lose focus. For me, those two things, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And when He says, come to me and I will give you rest. That's just two things that I needed to hear from the Lord recently. that really encouraged me and built me up and just got my head on straight again. And I needed that. And maybe that speaks to somebody here this evening or somebody who's listening. Maybe you need to hear the same thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And if you put your faith and trust in him, as simple as I did as a seven-year-old, that you can know what it means to have a real relationship with him. And as you grow and learn about him, you'll learn that it's not about the things that you do, but it's what's been done for you, and you can rest in that. So that's what we'll end off with this evening. Thank you for listening, and we'll just close in prayer. Thank you, God and Father, for the way that you change lives, the way that your Holy Spirit indwells, and how that you continue to mold us and shape us. It doesn't matter, Father, whether we're 10 or 20 or 40, if we put our faith and trust in you and as your Spirit indwells us, you continue to make us more like your Son as we desire to walk in your ways and in your truth. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, by simple faith, we can just put our faith and trust in him, and as we read his word and learn of him, we can just rest in what he's done. Father, we thank you that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light. Father, when we get burdened down by our own doing sometimes and our own inner workings of our mind and the way that we would get sidetracked and our thinking might go off, we thank you that we can return to the sure foundation of Scripture that can rightly moor us and rightly orient us and get us in the right direction. We thank you for this. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for each one this evening. Bless us as we part now. In Jesus' name, amen.